This is Tina sharing God's word with you from the east coast of Georgia. Glory, hallelujah, praise God. Oh man, I'm telling you what, God is faithful, He is loving, He is kind, and He is good to His children. I was thinking about a story. I've shared it with a lot of people through the years because it just resonates so deeply with me. About a little five-year-old boy who was sitting on the bench next to his grandfather, and they were watching, overlooking the lake and watching all of these sailboats. And the grandfather was teaching him a little bit about sailboats and how the wind carries them. And the little boy was watching them, and he saw some sailboats going in a northerly direction and some going in a southerly direction. And the wind was blowing softly across his face, and his hair was blowing a little bit to the right, and he was looking at the sailboats some more, and all the sailboats weren't going towards the right. And so he said, "Grandfather, I don't understand. If the wind is carrying them, well, how come they're not all going in the same direction as the wind?" And the grandfather patted him on the head and said, "Well, son, it all depends upon how they set their sail." So with us, how do we set our sail? And of course, I'm speaking not literally, figuratively, thinking of our thoughts and how we set our thoughts for the direction that we want to go to in life. If you would please open your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 91. And today's teaching and sharing is going to be on secret places. And we're going to start in Psalms 91:1. "He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that dwells in that secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will always find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And we dwell there from a place deep within our heart and our thoughts as they are in agreement. We can dwell in that secret place. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 1:33 says, "Whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet of fear of evil." Whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet of evil. And when we feel like we have, you know, fear and worry and doubt, that's evil. But as we dwell in that secret place, that secret place, we'll be quiet. We're not going to have all the chaos of the world surrounding us and knocking on our door constantly and beating us up, because we are dwelling in a secret place. Secret place is like a little, can be a hiding place. It can be a chamber. And in this situation, it's the chamber of our heart. The safest place for us to be at any point in time in our lives is passionately pursuing God and His purposes to which He has called us. Not pursuing a religion, not pursuing fame, not pursuing fortune, not pursuing relationships, not pursuing. The safest place for us to be at any point in our lives is passionately pursuing God and a strong relationship with Him. Jesus Christ taught this consistently. If you'll please turn to Matthew chapter 6, we will read a little bit about how Jesus would share about it's all about our heart. It's all about our relationship with God. And I guess you could, whenever you have time or you want to make the time, maybe read, you know, starting in Matthew 5 when he was started teaching and preaching to his disciples. And this is part of this teaching when we get to chapter 6. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets. But now let's look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as far back as I can remember, this was the first Bible verse I ever read. I was 7 years old, and there was a family Bible that sat out on the coffee table, and I remember flipping through it, and this verse caught my attention. And I loved to read. I was an avid reader at the age of 7. I had alcoholic parents and was living with a lot of anxiety and stress at the young age of 7. And I remember reading this verse and immediately going into my bedroom and opening, it's a little itty bitty, probably a 4x4 closet that we had, and going in there and sitting down and shutting the door and praying. And hindsight, miraculously so, that was the same time that my father had a sponsor and a friend approach him about stopping to drink, and he did not for the remainder of his days in his life never had another drink. He was a recovering alcoholic. So I know for a fact that literally, as a little 7-year-old, literally going into a physical closet, even though we know that figuratively God is talking about any place in secret when it's just you and Him and your relationship with Him, He shall reward you openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And this entire passage, like we were talking, is Jesus is really showing us the greatness of pursuing our personal relationship with God in that secret place. And the secret place we know is from the chamber of our heart into his heart. Then Jesus continues to show them, hey, after this manner, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Every time we're doing anything for the Lord, oh, I'm just a burdened down Christian. I've got to do this for God. My job, serving the Lord, is just so much. No. We don't want to do that. We want to have a happy countenance. We want to manifest the joy of the Lord in everything that we do. So when thou fastest, verse 17, anoint your head, wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret. It's between you and God. What you do for the Lord is between you and God. God looks at your heart. It's your relationship with him. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then we go into a little Orientalism here about lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And that's talking about your thoughts. Don't keep your focus upon the things of the earth, of things of the world, where moth and rust will corrupt and thieves will steal. But it's not talking about physical money. It's talking about laying up your treasures, in heaven, putting your thoughts on things above, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, where your thoughts are, is where your heart will be also. As the man speaketh, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh, it comes from the heart. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? It's all about our relationship with God. It's all about pursuing a passionate, living, vital, breathing, sleeping, walking, eating relationship with God our Father. And allowing him to show us the purposes for which he has called us. He's going to take care of you. He always has. He always will. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory and all of his riches and everything he had, was not arrayed. He was not dressed like one of those. That perfection of the lily. When you look at the flowers in the field, the perfection of them, God clothed them, he took care of them. Are you not much better than that? If your thoughts are on your relationship with him, you won't even be thinking about this stuff because you automatically, you know, he's taking care of whatever comes up for us in our lives because he's faithful. And we dwell in that secret place with him, that secret place. Wherefore, if verse 30, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Thought. Context is about our thoughts. Take no thought. Saying, you know, what am I going to eat? How am I going to get this? What am I going to do? Okay, I need to sell my house. I need to buy another house. I need to, what am I going to do? My car broke down again. What am I going to do? I got this. I've got that. Should I change jobs? Should I not change jobs? What should I do about it? Should I sell my house? No, maybe I. All of these multiplicity of life's decisions and life's troubles and life's, you know, obstacles and it's just, it can become overwhelming if that is what we continually have our focus on. But if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, El Shaddai, you know, we dwell with him. We abide under the shadow of his wings, under his protection, his provision. If we follow what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here in Matthew 6, to where we set our thoughts on those things, to where we're not living our life for glory and fame or attention, but we things that we do when we give to others, when we pray, you know, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I think it helps people to say, hey, I am praying for you. If I ever say that, I really am. I'm not ever just saying that. I probably tell you, if I say that, that means I am spending some diligent time in prayer. But, and the only reason I would share that with you is to help your believing to know, because I know for me, whenever someone tells me they're praying for me, it brings tears to my eyes because I'm so touched that someone loves me enough to do that. And that was probably like, I celebrated a birthday last month, and one of my friends, you know, that was my husband and I got up this morning, and we just spent time in prayer for you for your birthday. And I cried like a baby because that was the most precious, most wonderful thing anyone could do for me. And I take it very seriously when I pray for you, because when we go into the throne room of God and we make petitions and requests and intercession on the behalf of our brother or our sister, there is power there. There is, it says in Romans 8:28, and all things work together for the good to those that love God. If things will work together for the good as a result of that, because that whole context is talking about, you know, praying for others. So when we look at this beautiful, you know, verse that says, you know, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or be clothed, blah, 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 for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. And then here it is, the secret place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the secret place of the Most High. Abide, dwell, live under the shadow of El Shaddai, under his protection, his provision, his power, his love, his might, because you're pursuing your personal relationship with him from a heart, a pure heart of looking to grow with him, to continue to grow in love and the purposes for which he has called you. I used to be the world's worst about comparing myself to everybody else. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I could, I can't do what somebody else can do for other people, or I don't have, you know, this or that and to have to give. When finally, thank you, Father, he showed me, you know, what my calling was, my purpose was, and he'll do the same thing for you. It can never be a matter of trying to be something that you're not. He made each of us very unique. Nobody has your thumbprint but you. And no one can touch someone else's life the way that you can, because of the way you were called, because of the strengths and the talents and the special things that God gave just to you to make you, you. And that's what I love about the body of Christ. You know, we're not all the same. And we all have different strengths. And we all have different ways to glorify God. But it all comes out of that secret place. It all comes from that place where we go to him with our thoughts and our prayers. And we go to him with, you know, requests for direction. He that dwells in that chamber, that special secret place of El Shaddai, the Most High, is going to abide in the shadow of all that protection and provision. Just like Psalms 23 shares. Remember, the Lord is your shepherd. You're not going to have want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. This is because of your relationship with him. And we think about David. David, and we, of course, you know, we've all read so many different records through the years, and it's probably so many more that we can read and really go back and revisit. But David spent all that time as a shepherd in the fields, you know, nurturing his relationship with God and trusting in him. And then guess what? What happens after that? Once you do that, you have so much more to give. I mean, you know, when he went down there and Goliath was there, I mean, if he hadn't have had the time with the Lord and dwelling in the secret place with the Lord, he would not have had the wherewithal to handle that entire situation with Goliath, but he did. And of course, so many other records too. I mean, what about, well, I mean, you guys know, I mean, there's so many, I mean, God said that David was a man after his own heart, right? And it's pretty, to me, David's actions, you know, prove that he believed God's promises over his life. And he would go to God and inquire of God on a habitual, regular basis. And every time he did that, God showed up very strong, just like he will and just like he continues to do, you know, for us. Another thing I was thinking about when I was thinking on these things of setting our thoughts and ourselves upon, you know, these secret places and living in the secret place and praying in the secret place. And I've started thinking a little bit about Jesus, you know, when during his resurrection day in Luke chapter 24. There's a couple of guys. I mean, we know one was Cleopas, but I don't know what the other guy's name was that, you know, they were talking about everything that had happened and, you know, and why they were discussing this on the day that Jesus was, you know, resurrected. Jesus himself, and I'm in Luke 24, verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. For for their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk, you know, and while you sad? And they're like, hey, where you been? You didn't know what's going on? You know, what's happened these last few days? And, you know, Jesus just kind of played along. What things? Always cracks me up. Always cracks me up. And they said, you know, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this today, in the third day since these things were done, and now there's, you know, some women went there and they saw that the sepulcher had been moved and his body's gone. And they said they saw a vision of angels, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and it was just exactly like what they said. And, you know, they're just going on and on. And Jesus started, you know, telling them, hey, shouldn't the things have been as the prophets have spoken? And he started teaching, expounding to them the scriptures, you know, beginning at Moses concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village and and constrained him to stay with them and abide with them a little bit more. And he went in and tarried with him. And of course, after he sat and break bread and blessed it, you know, their eyes were opened. And then Jesus vanished out of their sight. But verse 32 is my big thing here that I want to share. He's like, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Whenever we hear truths, you guys, our hearts should be burning within us. It should just be on fire because of the greatness that the truth of the resurrected Jesus back then to the resurrected Jesus that sits on, ascended Jesus that sits on the right hand of the Father, and the truth of God's word from Genesis to Revelation makes our heart burn within us. And sometimes, and I ask myself, well, how come I'm reading the word and it's not really burning in me, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you the truth. It's because I allowed somewhere along the line for my heart to become hardened in that area. And that's when I have to repent and get with my Father and say, Father, create in me a clean heart, a heart that's continually hungry to continually passionately pursue my relationship with you and to continually seek you and abide under your shadow and to trust you. It says in Romans 14:22, you know, hast thou faith, have it, you know, before yourself to God. If you've got faith, I mean, go to the Father with your faith, with your heart. Ask him to revive your heart if it's not burning with truth. Ask him to show you how to develop this wonderful, continual relationship of dwelling in his secret place, the secret place of the kingdom of God, the secret place, you know, with your prayer life, the secret place with your service to God, your purposes for what he's called you to do. And I am convinced that he is faithful and he'll hear and answer that prayer. God bless you. Love you.